Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, last evening I spoke as well, and I am so glad that I was able to practice. Yeah, because I got up, I opened up my notebook, and I started in, and when I got to the bottom of the page, it's like, this is the wrong sermon. So I actually had to stop and say, I'm sorry, guys. I opened the book, and I just started the wrong sermon. So this one is the correct one that I've gone over a few times. So join me in prayer as we start out, if you would, please. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you for this day. I pray, Lord, that you be with me as I give this message. I pray that you calm my heart and just help me to give the message in the way that it needs to be given, Lord. Be with the congregation as they may glean something from it. I feel this is the message that you wanted me to do today. So with that being said, Lord, I just pray that you help me just to be your hands and feet. And it is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. So this morning I have a question for you. When life gets hard, where do you turn? So this morning I'm going to be using the NIV Bible for all of my scriptures. So if you want to grab your NIV or the Bible in front of you, you may. Most everyone has a story, or one or two, about difficult times in their life, or maybe in the lives of a loved one. We know these things are going to happen, and we need to not only be mentally prepared, but we need to be spiritually prepared as well. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the subject of what we need to do when the struggles of life happens. Now, I'm certain that each one of us in this sanctuary this morning have an example of the struggles of when they needed to lean into God during difficult times. It may have been the death of a loved one, or an illness that you or someone that you love is going through, or you may be going through that difficult time even right now. We shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus warned us that we would have troubles in this life. And we find them in John 16:33. So we shouldn't be caught off guard when this happens. We read in John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you may have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We need to understand that it is during these times of trouble when God leans into us and gives us comfort and strength. In Isaiah 41:10, we read, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. Now, unfortunately, for many people, going to God in prayer is not the first thing that we do, but it should be. Many times before we go to God, we're on the phone, or we're talking to our neighbor, or whatever. The first thing we need to do is we need to go to God in prayer. For it is God alone that gives us the strength, that gives us that calm that we need to walk through that fire, to press through those hard days and nights. God alone can pierce through that overwhelming feeling of dread. It is at times like these, during hardships and trouble, where many start following the false doctrine of the prosperity gospel. Now, I don't need to tell you guys what the prosperity gospel is, because many of you have been under Pastor Ken for a long time, and he's been preaching on this. But just in case you didn't catch it, I'm going to give you just a small kind of like a prosperity gospel belief 101, just to refresh the memories. Now, the prosperity gospel is a false doctrine, and many times it comes wrapped in pretty paper and soft words and promises. But The prosperity gospel teaches flawed views of the world where suffering is caused by lack of faith, and the believers can avoid these misfortunes by just speaking those positive words. And by speaking negative words, you bring bad things into your life. It also teaches that if you speak wealth, it brings that into your life. So you can see how people would want to follow this. You can see how they would want to go that direction when hard times happen. But in reality, bad things happen to everybody, regardless of their faith. And Christians' verbal confessions do not create or prevent their circumstances. This false teaching can be emotionally and spiritually devastating for the believer who faces hardships. And it's a really flawed theology. The promise that God will always provide health and wealth in your life, and that of believers can claim by speaking it into existence, is a distortion of biblical teaching. The prosperity gospel teaches that faith is a spiritual force that believers can use to demand blessings from God. However, the Bible defines faith as trust in God's will, the reliance on his character, and not a tool to manipulate him into granting personal desires. The prosperity theology claims that Jesus' death on the cross purchased complete physical healing and financial prosperity for believers in this life. The prosperity teachers will ignore the numerous scriptures that acknowledge suffering as a normal part of this life, even for the righteous. For example, the Apostle Paul experienced significant hardships, and Jesus himself suffered greatly upon the cross and definitely was not a wealthy man. In fact, I was reading about this just last night. In fact, if you think about it, in Jesus' time with all of his disciples around him, the only disciple that had wealth was Judas. Think about that one a little bit. So there are many prosperity gospel teachers, and I know that Ken has stood up here and named them, but just as a refresher on this course 101, I'm going to name them again. So here we go. These are prosperity gospel teachers that you need to avoid. Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Kenny Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, and Stephen Furtick, just to name a few. Now, these people that I've just named are all false teachers that push the prosperity gospel teaching. But here's the thing. All of them are multimillionaires that teach if you plant that seed, if you give that money, God will bless you. But the fact is, their wealth has come off the backs of the people sitting in the pews, the people that they push. Their teachings are dangerous and false. Nowhere in our Bible will you ever read that if you only speak good things, God will bless you and keep you from harm and difficult times. And this teaching is everywhere in all parts of the world. So, on my recent trip to Uganda, one of the questions that I asked the pastors was, what is the most difficult part of ministering in Africa? And without even blinking, Pastor Alex said, the greatest threat to Christianity that they are facing is a prosperity gospel. To the point of, this July, another team is going back to do another conference there in PG, and the topic is the prosperity gospel for the pastors. So the pastors are going to come to this conference, men and women, be taught the danger that of the prosperity gospel, and they in turn will then go to their churches and teach it to their congregations. So the largest church, and we shouldn't be surprised about that because this is what's going on in America, The largest church, the mega church there, is in Kampala, I believe, and it's called the Miracle Central Cathedral, and it's led by Pastor Robert Kienge. And he's a multimillionaire in Uganda or Kampala area. And he has the people deceived, and poverty is increasing. Now, this teaching that has its roots growing in Africa, it's taking an already poor community and country deeper into poverty. It promises wealth and health. If you plant that seed and give more money, and more will be returned to you. It completely leaves out the part of, in this world, you will have many troubles, right? Now, everyone's going to experience hardships, and everyone will have many hardships during their lives. Here's what we need to remember. Our God has given us the tools to push through these troubles and hardships. By coming to God with our prayers and our concerns, He alone can help us get past the things that each of us will endure here on this side of heaven. So in Psalms 34, 17 through 19, we read, "The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and serves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." When you seek God, trust that He will respond in His perfect timing and according to His loving wisdom, not ours. We need to remember that Jesus has gone through everything that we have and will ever go through. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our strength. When we feel like just giving up and we don't know which way to turn. We live in a broken world full of sickness and wicked people. And I think we can all agree on that as we watch things going on in our life around us right now. And we need to recognize that we live in a broken world where troubles are part of this life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you should expect not to fit into a world that doesn't follow Jesus, but instead they follow the God of this world, which we all know is Satan. 1 John 3:13, we read, "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if this world hates you." In these moments of hardship, where do you turn? Now, our human instinct is to retreat, to panic, and to lean on our own limited understanding. So let's just take a moment and just explore why the most powerful and hopeful responses are to turn to God. The first thing is, we need to admit our weakness, and we need to call on God. Acknowledge your struggles, because there's strength in admitting that you don't have all the answers. And the Bible is filled with examples of people that did just that. There are many examples, but this morning I'm going to use just one, and I'm going to use David as that example. The psalmist David was no stranger to hardship, and we read about this in Psalms 34, 17, which we just read just a moment ago, but I'm going to read it the second time. Psalms 34, 17 through 19. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Now, if we think about the different things that David went through in his life, David would turn to God in his darkest moments while facing trials of all kinds, fleeing King Saul, dealing with betrayal, experiencing immense grief. He cried out to God repeatedly, and his Psalms serves as a testament to the power of earnest prayer during these hard times. But we need to understand this. Even though we are praying, earnestly praying, it is always in God's timing and not ours. And we need to remember that no is an answer too. David had immense trouble with King Saul. And on two separate occasions, David had the perfect opportunity to take care of that problem and kill Saul. If you remember, he found him sleeping. He could have, you know, there's different times he could have, well, in the cave, he found him in the cave. He could have taken care of him. David could have gone ahead and taken the throne. But he refused to harm God's anointed king. And so David chose to honor God's plan rather than seek his own justice. And it's during this time in David's life that he poured out his anguish, confessing his fears to God about being pursued by King Saul. These types of actions show that true faith isn't required like a mask or a facade, a perfect composure. Because God can handle our honest pain. He can handle our honest frustration. When we feel forsaken, overwhelmed, you don't have to hide your spiritual struggles. You can bring your complaints, your tears, and your desperation directly to God, who will not only hear you, but he will also, as we read in Psalms 3:3, put that shield around you. That's a nice thought. But many times our headaches are caused by our own personal bad choices. Been there, done that, right? So we also need to remember that there are those consequences when we stray and we make those worldly choices. Just as David strayed with Bathsheba, we all know that story, where the consequence was the loss of a child. So we need to understand that when we make those worldly choices and we go outside of what the Bible teaches us, there could be some really heavy consequences. But trusting God means accepting his sovereignty even when his plan doesn't align with our deepest desires. David's story teaches us how to mourn what is lost and then immediately refocus on God and to move forward with acceptance and trust. Instead of carrying that burden alone, the first step is to pour out your complaint and your pain to the Lord. As we all know, he already knows. He knew it long before you even knew you were going to go through whatever it is that you're going through or have gone through. So let him know. Pour it out. Your anguish is never too small or too great for him to hear. When life gets hard and you feel your energy is depleted, when you grow weary and feel like just giving up, this is precisely when you must make a conscious decision to exchange your failing strength for God's endless power. In Isaiah 40:31, we read about this profound promise, Isaiah 40:31. And I have to say, this is probably one of my favorite verses. We read, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary." They will walk and they will not faint. If you consider the Israelites who were freed from slavery and what they faced in the wilderness, you would have thought they would have been so happy, right? They're free. But no, they complained a lot. They complained about everything, right? But God continually provided for them. Likewise, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 spoke of finding strength in his weakness so that the power of Christ could rest on him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, we read, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Trusting God requires surrendering our desires for control, which I think most all of us in this room can say, "I want to be in control. Let me be in control. I don't want to just give it over." But trusting God requires us to surrender that control. We don't have to pretend that we're strong. God's grace is sufficient. And in the most vulnerable moments, his power is perfect. Hard times are almost always accompanied with anxiety. Been there, done that one too, right? Which can rob us of peace and it can drain us from that hope. But we can replace that anxiety with God's perfect peace. And we can read this about this in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This verse provides a clear command and a beautiful promise. We read in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." A beautiful biblical example of this scripture is where Jesus himself, he modeled it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Facing unimaginable anguish, he prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." We find this in Luke 22:24. He surrendered his burden to the Father, and he found peace. The path to peace is through prayer. We present our worries to God with thanksgiving, knowing that he is good and faithful, that his peace may not change our circumstances immediately, but it can change us in the midst of those circumstances. So as I finish up, there's a few things I'd like for you to take home with you this morning. When life gets hard, don't rely on your own strength. Instead, turn to God by crying out to him, exchanging your weakness for his power, and trading your anxiety for his peace. Here's what I'd like for each of you to take away from this message. You don't have to face difficult times alone. In the midst of this storm, in the midst of your storm, God is your shelter and your strength. Turn to him during times of trouble and in times of peace. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray this morning for each person that's here today, that they if they're going through anything, that they can find that peace and that strength in you, Lord, that they will turn to you, cry out to you, lay it at your feet, because, Lord, we know that that is the perfect place for it to be. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here today. I pray a blessing upon their day, that as they leave this building, that they feel refreshed and renewed. I pray for the friendships and the family that I have here in this church, my church family. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.